Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And let's get more on that story that Brian mentioned, the inquest into the death of Aoife Johnston, and consultant in emergency medicine, Dr. Jim Gray, has been giving evidence on the fourth day at the coroner's court in Kilmallock. And RTÉ reporter John Cook is there for us once again today and is on the line. So, John, will you take us through what Dr. Jim Gray has been saying?
Yes, Claire. Dr. James Gray said that he was on call that weekend in a brief statement he gave to the court this morning on day four of this inquest. He said he did not treat Aoife at any time and was not consulted to give advice or attend on site at the hospital directly in relation to Miss Aoife Johnston, and he offered sincere condolences to her family. Under cross-examination from Damien Tansey, SC, senior counsel for the Johnston family, he agreed he was a pivotal cog in the wheel of the hospital in Limerick. His senior consultant position, the highest ranking in the field in that hospital, he agreed with Mr. Tansey's words. Asked about the weather warning that week regarding red and later yellow weather warnings in the week regarding icy weather, Jim Gray said he got a sense there was going to be weather deterioration. He did expect a surge in patients in the emergency department, but also the local injury units in Nina, Ennis and St. John's. Asked did he attend any of those hospitals that weekend while on call for a 48-hour shift by Damien Tansey, Jim Gray said he attended the emergency department at the University of Hospital Limerick during the day and was available to take calls and give advice later. He said on that Saturday, December 17th, he was called almost every hour from 3 p.m. to 9:30, and things were very busy. Asked by Damien Tansey then about descriptions we've heard throughout this inquest of the emergency department being compared to a war zone, to being chaotic, to being intolerable, he said, yes, I would totally agree. He said it was like a death trap, Claire.
Mm-hmm. Now, the inquest has heard over the last number of days that Jim Gray declined a request to come into the emergency department as conditions got busier overnight. What did he have to say when he was asked about that?
Yes, and Damien Tansey for the Johnstons put it to Jim Gray that the Johnston family are haunted by nurses telling the inquest this week, repeatedly over and over again, we've heard it in evidence, that emergency department registrars would not come out of the resus area to other zones of the emergency department where Aoife was and other patients. And he said the Johnstons are of the view that if the emergency medicine consultant on call had come in, he could have redeployed doctors to where they were needed. In response, Dr. Jim Gray said, I'd been on for 48 hours. I received a call at 10:28 that night from Nurse Catherine Skelly, the clinical nurse manager. I asked her if she'd escalated the situation to the exec on call. She asked if I would come in. I said, look, Catherine, I've been in. I have to be in the morning. I've an appointment at 8 o'clock. I can't. He said, had I known that a 16-year-old child had entered the emergency department in septic shock and couldn't get into resus, as I now know, I would have gone in that night. He said the system failed Aoife Johnston. The emergency department failed Aoife Johnston, but I was not asked for advice about her specific case. He was asked if this should have been classed as a major emergency, with a 16-year-old girl dying unattended, prescriptions, according to Damien Tansey, being written by doctors without seeing patients, like confetti, he said, and yet tragically and ironically no prescription could be written for Aoife Johnston's antibiotics. Mm-hmm. Conor Halpin, the senior counsel for the University of Limerick Hospital, objected to this and asked for clarification that prescriptions were being prescribed by doctors without seeing patients for symptomatic pain relief, for fluids, for hydration, etc., not like confetti, as Mr. Tansey had said. The coroner accepting that this was the case, but he says they were prescribing some medications like pain relief because that was the system. They were so busy. Dr. Gray agreed this is not good practice. The situation is, he said, you have good staff working in a dysfunctional environment. Every conceivable space is full in the emergency department, full of patients, full of trolleys, back to back, like an aeroplane, he compared it, with all the seats full and all the aisles full on the aeroplane too. How do you think that would function? Nothing can happen, he said, or if it does, it would be slowly. He said the only thing that would have worked that night was if the major emergency plan was activated, and he said that was a matter for the executive manager on call. He said that he had been on for 48 hours all that day. He would have come in if there was a major emergency. He said, I'm not Superman. Dr. Gray went on to say it's impossible for a consultant on call to come in when it's busy, because guess what, he said to the court, it's busy every day in Limerick. It's still the most overcrowded emergency department in the state. Damien Tansey put it to him that the paediatric consultant did come in. Dr. Gray said, well, he wasn't an emergency consultant and I don't know what his schedule was, repeating that he had clinical engagements at 8 a.m. the following morning. He'd been in and taking calls throughout the day. He had important decisions to make the next morning and physically he couldn't do it. He said in an ideal world, consultants would be there 24/7, but we don't have enough consultants in Limerick and there aren't enough consultants generally to hire, he said, and there'd be contractual issues around this too. Still, he said, there is one emergency department consultant on call at weekends now, and there is always going to be pinch points. Damien Tansey asked about Aoife Johnson's status as a Category 2 patient under international triage protocols. She should have been seen by a doctor in 10 minutes. She waited over 12 hours. Some patients waited up to 19 hours. And Dr. Gray said, yes, he agreed this was unacceptable. He said, it was a death trap for Aoife Johnston in that emergency department. She had no chance. Damien Tansey asked Dr. Gray, if you had come in to redeploy medical staff, wouldn't that have been in your remit? Dr. Gray, in the last few moments, said the role of the emergency medical consultant on call is not to come in when it's overcrowded. An extra person like a consultant would not necessarily have made the difference you're suggesting. Had she been seen within the 10 minutes, she might have had a fighting chance, he said. She would have had a much better chance. He said it was undignified that her parents had to put two chairs together and to put her on a trolley. He said that it was a breach and an abuse of patients' human rights to be treated in this way, but I was not made aware of any individual patient that required my attention that night. I was physically unable to come in every time the hospital was overcrowded. And raising his voice again, he said, Claire, it is always overcrowded.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, every day this week, I think people who have heard the details of this have just felt such deep sympathy for Aoife's family, who are sitting there listening to all of this now for the fourth day. And is it expected to go on past today, John?
This inquest was scheduled for 4 days here at Limerick Coroner's Court, sitting in the courthouse in Kilmallock, Clare. So today is scheduled to be the last day. The next and what should be the last witness after Dr. Gray is the consultant pathologist from University Hospital Limerick, Dr. Teresio Laszlo, who will give details of the post-mortem carried out on Aoife Johnson and her exact cause of death. Some issues have arisen whereby there may be further cross-examination of Dr. Gray later. We don't know that for right now. Some issues are maybe going to be raised in chamber as well, in private, between counsel for the Johnstons and counsel for the University of Limerick Hospital Group with the coroner before we see how things proceed. But the plan is that once all evidence is heard, submissions will be made from all legal counsel for the University of Limerick Hospital Group, for the Johnston family, and the legal counsel as well for Miss Fiona Steed, who gave evidence yesterday. She was the former executive on call at the hospital. Submissions would be made by all of those regarding a verdict and possible recommendations in this case before the coroner takes time to consider that and possibly deliver it later today, Claire.
Okay, well, John, thank you very much. That's John Cook there, RTÉ reporter at the coroner's court in Kilmallock. And there will be more coverage from the Aoife Johnston inquest later on Drive Time here on RTÉ Radio 1 from 4:30 this afternoon.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.